All right, so let's go to Mark chapter 4, back where we left off this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's read verses 26 through 29 again. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because it's harvest time. So we discuss the kingdom of God. The word kingdom here is the entire sphere of God's rule and action in relation to the world or the earth. So in other words, when it says the kingdom of God here, it's the way God set up his system on the earth for his children to operate by. It's his mode of operation. It's his system. It's the way he does things on the earth. And we found out this morning that every part of God's kingdom operates this way. It says it operates by seed time and harvest. Everybody say seed time and harvest. So he says the kingdom of God on the earth it's talking about. But if you look up the Greek, don't have to take my word for it. Look it up. This is the way he operates his system here on the earth for his kids. His entire system operates by seed time and harvest. So spiritually, we saw that this morning. God himself has to operate by seed time and harvest. He had to plant the seed of the word of God, Jesus himself, in order to get us as a harvest, right? We saw that physically operates by seed. We talked about maritally. If you want a good marriage, you're going to have to plant good seed in that marriage. So we talked about different ones. We also talked about the one that the Lord told us to zero in on, and that's the financial system. That God's financial system operates by seed time and harvest, which is awesome for us believers is because it's a no respecter of person system. The seed, when you plant the seed, it doesn't pop its head back up through the ground and see if you're educated enough. It doesn't pop its head back up through the ground and say, well, let me see what nationality you are. Let me see if I can bless you. Doesn't pop its head back up and say, wait a minute, you're a single mom with kids. How am I going to bless you? Come on. The seed does not care who plants it. It doesn't matter how young, how old, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter if we live in the poorest county of the nation. That seed will still, once it touches the ground, gets in the ground, it'll produce. Because this says the earth brings forth fruit of herself. And that's the way God set up his system, that it will bring forth fruit if we get seed in the ground. Amen. No respecter of person system. Get seed in the ground. This is what we started teaching Rachel when she was just a little kid, and that's why her first car was paid for by cash, and she was so blessed, and I just was amazed the way God would bless her just out of the blue, just when you would least expect it, just all of a sudden hand her $5,000, somebody that she, you know, didn't expect from a man on the moon to come, you know. I mean, just out of nowhere, God would bless her. Because we started teaching her, honey, you got to put seed in the ground. Don't let an offering bucket go by without planting. Because if you're, you know what I found out? I found out that the number one reason for me and you and all of us to not put seed in the kingdom is fear. I mean, really, if you stop and talk to anybody that doesn't tithe or doesn't give, what's the number one reason? They think if they do it, if they give to God, they're not going to have enough for self. So that's fear. And we've got to get fear dispelled, which is why we teach the word. Once you get the word, then it will chase fear out, because when faith comes in, fear leaves, right? And so we started teaching Rachel that and just watched her develop in that. And then that's how my wife and I became debt-free, both at our ministry, Larry Hutton Ministries, all the property that we own. We have a two-story office, brick office complex for our ministry in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and the vehicles the ministry owns, and then our personal vehicles, our personal house, everything's debt-free because we gave our way out of poverty and lack. But it was in line with what we talked about this morning. So we found out this morning, money in and of itself is not seed. Those of you that were here, would you say amen? We showed that according to the word, didn't we? So it wasn't my idea. When the Lord told me that, it jerked the slack out of me because I always taught money was seed. And then when the Lord said, well, just go plant some money in your backyard and see what you get. You'll get rotten. It'll rot away to, it won't be worth anything after a while, right? No, money is not seed. A car is not seed. And this really helped me when I realized, wait a minute, money's not seed, because I had people telling me years ago, and I preached it myself, you know, if you need some socks, plant some socks. If you need some clothes, plant some clothes. And if you need a car, plant car. Well, my wife and I, we've given so many cars away and nobody's ever given us one. So if money was seed and a car was seed and clothes were seed, then they would produce after their own kind, because that's what the Bible said seed does. But we found out that money, cars, things are not seed unless we plant seed, which is what? The word of. That's what we found out in verse 14. Look back at verse 14. It says, this tells us, and you can't take verses 26 through 29 out of context. You got to read in the context. The context before you ever get here is the parable of the sower. And what is verse 14? The sower sows what? The word. So with no word sown, money is not seed and will not produce after its kind. So it was liberating to me, because I know so many times the Lord has called Liz and I to bless somebody with a new car. I mean, we've done that multiple times. The last time was not too long ago when I had money saved up. I was going to buy my wife a really nice car, and I'd saved up quite a bit of money because it was a luxury car, and I was getting ready to buy it for her, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, and then he spoke to her and said, no, I want you to take that money and buy it. And he called a name of a person, said, I want you to buy that person a car. And it wasn't a preacher, by the way. Amen. It was just somebody faithfully serving in their church, being blessing to their pastor. And God called us. And so when the Lord did that, we just knew he was setting us up for another blessing, because that was a big seed to go buy, to take the money I'm going to spend on my wife's car and go buy a car for somebody else. But you know what? It wasn't too long, too many months later, after we had blessed that person, we had the money, because God opened up blessings to us. We had the money, and then I was able to go buy my wife a new car too. So even though the person that received the new car was definitely blessed, you could tell just with their actions and everything else, they were just, I mean, beside themselves blessed. But guess who was the greater one that got blessed? Blessed, it's more blessed to, so we were the ones that got the greater blessing, because we not only got to bless them, but we got harvest back, which took care of something we wanted and gave us more money to give. Hallelujah. So that's why I love this system of seed time and harvest, because you, if somebody will believe it, now it takes faith to release the grace of God in every area. It took faith to release the grace of salvation in your life. It takes faith to release the grace of healing. It takes faith to release the grace of finance. It takes faith to release a heavenly merit. You got to use faith if you want grace to flow. Amen. And if you don't want grace to flow, that means you're on your own, you're doing it by works, and you're headed for a downfall. Amen. So, seed time and harvest. I thought, man, this is awesome, because nobody can stop me from getting richer every year. Nobody can. Only me. And I refuse. I refuse to be the one that stops me. So my wife and I just determine every year we're going to give more this year than we've given last year. We're going to keep giving more next year than we've given the following. We're going to keep giving more, and God's blessings keep coming in. And so God will tell us to invest. We've bought and sold homes. We've invested here and there, do different things. I think maybe I shared the testimony the one time, and this was during the recession that this happened. You may have heard this one, where God told us to buy a painting. Did I share that one before? Some of you shaking your heads. I bought this ugly, ugly painting, and for a lot of money, like $25,000, a lot of money. And I had never spent $2,500 on a painting, but God told us. I knew we heard from heaven. My wife knew, so we bought it. And then short time later, God told us to sell it. We bought it for $25,000, sold it for $175,000. That was during the recession, when you're not supposed to be increasing. Amen. But you know what? God has a million and one ways to bring blessings to us if we'll do it God's way, which is why we're talking God's financial system here. Because if you're hooked up in God's system, seed time and harvest, with the word of God being spoken That attaches God's seed to the money. Now money now becomes kingdom seed. Then when we do that, we hook up to what is called His riches in glory. And He will meet all of our needs out of His riches in glory, right? So that's why we're talking about this system, because I see so many people that are droppers. They drop their tithe and they drop the offering and they never sow anything. And we found out in 1 Corinthians 3 this morning how you sow the word, you speak it. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what Apollos did. That's what Jesus did. If you're going to sow the word, you've got to speak the word out of your heart through your mouth. That's why your pastors lead you in confessions. That's what I led you in one this morning, because we want to get you used to and accustomed to from your heart. Now, if you're just saying it, just repeating it, just because we're leading you, then it's not going to be sowing at all. But if you say it from your heart, and somebody always is asking me, well, what should I say? And so I always take them to one scripture or another. What I tell them, get the Heaven's Wealth Food CD, because I don't preach or teach on that CD. All I do is quote wealth scriptures and increase scriptures and prosperity scriptures for a whole hour from a lot of different translations. So if you don't have that one, get the word in your heart, because if you're going to sow, you got to have the word in your heart. And when it's in there in abundance, what's going to come out? Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? So what's in there in abundance is going to come out. So if you have the word of God, then let's say, you know, something happens. And these things happen, but that's why we got to be full of the word. All of a sudden, the car breaks down, and you don't have the money in the bank account right now to take care of the car. So it looks like you're going to have a problem here. But you're not moved by the natural. You're moved by the supernatural. Seed time and harvest, you're not concerned about that car. You know God's got the money and He's got it for you. So what do? You stand up and instead of saying, oh my God, what are we going to do? We don't have the money to fix it. Instead of saying that, you stand up and say, thank you, Lord. I got more than enough money to pay for that car. And not only am I going to pay for my car, I'm going to find somebody in my church that needs their car fixed, and I'm going to fix theirs too. Oh, man, that's not what the devil wants you saying. He's hoping that you'll get in fear and start speaking doubt and unbelief that you don't have enough for your car. And then all of a sudden, when you stand up and say, it is written, you know what you're doing? You're submitting to God. You're resisting the devil. And guess what he has to do? Yeah. So then all of a sudden, then God's grace starts flowing. And when God's grace starts flowing, His grace empowers us to be what we can't be, do what we can't do, go where we can't go. I mean, it's all about Him, folks. When you get self out of the way, so liberating. So liberating when we do it God's way. So He said, so is the kingdom of God. Then He says, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. That means seed not sown isn't going to produce. You know, we may have good intentions, right? Well, I'm going to sow that. Well, that's great, but that seed in the farmer's hand, I'm going to sow that sometime. Well, if he doesn't get in the ground, it's not going to multiply. So he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if man should cast seed into the what? All right, so I looked up that word ground. I like studying the Greek and everything, and it means arable soil. Arable, which you and I would say, that means it has oxygen and nutrients. And in other words, it's good soil that's going to produce. I thought about that. I said, okay, so if I'm going to plant, I got to make sure I'm planting in good ground, not just ground, right? So, of course, the first good ground that we're always going to plant in is, because we're getting fed on a regular basis, is our local church. Want to make sure that we're always sowing to our local church. But then you don't want to just sow to your local church. You want to make sure that you're sowing and reaching people around the world that your money can get to that you can't. So somebody asked me one time, well, Brother Larry, how do I know if it's good ground or not? Or this question comes up a lot. How do I know who to partner with, who to give to? Because I want to make sure I'm sowing regularly to set myself up for continual harvest. And I remember this coming out of me one time. I know it was the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin, I traveled with Brother Hagin from 1982 to 2003, so over 20 years. I was on staff now at his ministry just for 4 years, but then I actually, the Lord told us to continue to travel and help him at all his meetings, so almost every meeting he ever did, I was there. He started asking us to be a regular guest speaker at many of them. So I got real close to him, and I remember him saying, he said, you know, he said, and you may have heard him because he shared this publicly as well. He said, you know, I'll pick up a book and I'll read it, and if I don't get anything out of it, I won't read it again. He said, if I pick up a book and read it, man, that just blessed my soul. I'm going to read it again. He said, I'll wear the covers off the book reading it. He says, because that individual, doesn't mean the other individual isn't called, or clicked my bells, ring my bells, or whatever, you know, it didn't just do anything for me, doesn't mean they're not good. In fact, my wife and I are that way. There are certain ministers that she just loves feeding on, and when I listen to them, I think, oh, they're good, but I mean, they're not my favorite, and yet some of them are her favorites. And then other people that are my favorites, she thinks, they're so boring, you know. And it's just because there's differences of operations, differences of administrations, even though they're the same office, there's differences. And so I remember telling a congregation this. I said, you know, I said, you're going to have people come in here. It may be one of your missionaries that comes in. It may be Kevin and Ann Durant. It may be somebody that you have in. And you may make this statement, because I've had people tell me who their favorite guest minister is. And they come up and they say, so-and-so, and they'll mention a girl preacher or another man preacher, and they'll say, I get more out of their ministry than I get out of anybody else's ministry. And I'll ask them, are you partners with them? Well, no. I say, you get more out of them. They feed you. God uses their gifts to bless you and change your life, and you don't help get that out to somebody else? That's how you can tell when there's a hookup with you. So your pastors, they're going to have gifts in here, and when they come in, or there may be certain TV preachers. We happen to support Creflo Dollar because she, next to me, he is my wife's favorite preacher. She always tells me that, man. Larry, next to you, Creflo's my favorite preacher. But she told me this one time. She said, you know why I like Creflo so much? I said, why, honey? She said, he teaches just like you do. I thought that was a compliment, you know. Amen. Well, we're both teachers, and we both like to get down to where the rubber meets the road and tell it like it is. And I live what I preach, and I know Creflo does. And he preaches what he lives, and that's what I do. And so I'm thankful that some people have done that and compared us in that way, because I love Creflo. And that's why we support him. We're a partner with him. So there's going to be people like that you watch on TV, or you just have a hookup. There's some people overseas that we're hooked up with and we support. And just, you know, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And when you do that, make sure, just like when you're in church physically, when you're getting ready to either click that button on your computer to send the monthly support, or you're getting ready to mail the check, sow the word so that you're not just dropping. Don't be a dropper. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a dropper. Tell them, be a sower. Amen. So, and then, you know, just get used to doing this, because the more you sow, when you're sowing the word, you just watch. You watch. It'll change. It'll change the next year of your life, because you'll start seeing things happen more than you've ever seen happen, because you're speaking the word of God, and you're being diligent to sow into good ground. Now, you don't sow into ground just because it pulls on your emotional heartstrings. Watch that. Because there's actually Christians, they watch a commercial on TV, and it's not even kingdom of God related. It's just a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's actually a good cause, and they send all this money there, and nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting filled, nobody's getting healed. So you got to be careful, because a lot of people get drawn into that kind of stuff. You want to make sure you're supporting the kingdom of God first. Then if God tells you to support some other cause, then obey him. Amen. But I mean, I've seen people get drawn into saving whales instead of saving people. Excuse me if I just stepped on your toes. I didn't mean to. Maybe I did. Anyway. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, I love this next verse because it shows a position of rest. It says he goes to bed and gets up and goes to bed and gets up and goes to bed and gets up. And it doesn't say he's checking on the seed. It doesn't say he's fretting on the seed. It doesn't say he's worrying about the seed. It shows me a position of rest. And we which believe enter into rest. This is going to keep the harvest going if you stay out of the way. But if you keep plucking it up with your doubt and your unbelief or your wonder, well, has anything happened? Why am I not seeing anything happen? As soon as you start talking like that, it's just like digging it up to see, and you're just going to stop it from producing. You can't be wavering, right? He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What does James say? Say, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. So is the kingdom of God. And this is so cool because it works for all of us. No respecter of persons, male, female, doesn't matter. So is the kingdom of God. So if I work God's system here on the earth, then I'm going to partake of what already belongs to me. Remember, I'm already righteous. I'm already healed. I'm already rich. I'm already blessed. Every blessing of heaven is already mine in Christ. So now I'm using my faith to release the grace of God into my life. You getting this? This is where so many Christians miss it. Even in our circles, I go to a lot of Word and Faith churches from many different circles all over the world. And I see people trying to get something through their confession, through their whatever, through listening to scripture CDs for 100 hours, then they'll have enough faith to take hold of their healing when they don't realize, wait a minute, I'm already healed. What am I doing? I've just got to get my heart and mouth in agreement with what I already am. If Jesus bore my sicknesses like Matthew 8:17 says, then that means I am the healed. That's why when pain tries to attack my body, like I said, I'm 61, so gosh, I'm not even middle-aged yet. Somebody said, Brother Larry, if you live to 120, you're past middle-aged. No, I'm going to live past 120. Yeah, because Moses lived to 120 and he didn't have God on him. He wasn't under a better covenant established on better promises like I am. Doesn't that just blow people's thinking away? What do you mean? Listen, study out Jehoiada, the high priest's life. He lived after Moses, and he lived till he was 137. Without the greater one on the inside of him, without a better covenant established on better promises. So you can talk yourself out of it. You're not going to talk me out of it. If Jesus tarries, man, I'm going to set example for people to follow after. Amen. One of my board members is 80 years old, 81 years old, and you would think he was 60. The epitome of health. He can outwork most 30, 35-year-old men. I mean, out in the yard working. I went and stayed at his house recently. I said, he's one of my board members, and I said, man, I said, you are such an inspiration to me. I said, you know, I've written a book on long life, and I preach about you can live past Moses if you want. I mean, with your natural forces not abated. In other words, still be strong, healthy, and standing tall without arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, without knee replacement, hip replacement. You can actually walk in health all the days of your life if you choose to believe it. Amen. But here's one of my board members living it. At 80, people guess him 60. I love it. I said, you're such an example. I love it. Amen. And then my pastor that decided to go be with heaven, my first pastor, he was one of the two mentors in my life, Pastor Curtis Bradford, and then Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. Those are my two mentors in life. And my first pastor just recently went to heaven because he thought his work was done, and he was old, and he just decided, you know what? He said, I have nothing wrong with me, and he didn't. He didn't take one pill. He didn't take any medicine whatsoever. The only time he ever went to the doctor was just for a physical. It was the epitome of health. He worked out all the time, and he ate healthy, and just the epitome of health. He just called his daughters over and just told them, I'm going to be checking out. And a few weeks later, one of them came over to the house, and he was laying on the bed. They thought he was taking a nap, and he was gone. The doctor said there was absolutely nothing wrong with this man. We don't know what happened. And of course, I did. Because he was my mentor. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to let him know, you not only mentored me when you were alive, you mentored me in your death. You showed me that once you're ready to go, you don't have to die sick. When you're ready to go, you can just have a gathering, bless your family, and then just yield up the ghost and go. Because the same God that's big enough to put the breath of life in you is big enough to take it out when you're ready to go. Now, that wasn't part of the message, but that's good anyway. Glory to God. Amen. Well, so seed time and harvest. So we're going to cast into good ground. Then we're going to rest. Go to sleep, get up, go to sleep, get up. And then it says, this is so cool. Look at verse 27. The seed is going to spring up and grow, and you don't have to know how. Just like somebody that plants a natural seed in the ground, they don't have to understand germination. They don't have to understand how the seed actually has to die and germinate and all that stuff. They can just plant a seed, and you probably did it as a kid, maybe with one of your things in class or something. You planted a little seed, and you waited for the little blade to come up, and you grew something, you know, for your class. We don't have to understand how God's going to do it. Why? Just like this verse goes on to say, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Well, guess what? The kingdom of God brings forth fruit of itself. You don't have to know how God's going to do it, and you don't expect him to do it the same way unless you think you're going to put God in a box. Amen. I've seen people do that. Well, you know, God did it this way, so I'm just going to believe him to do it that way every time. No, he has a million and one ways to do it. But the main thing is, like we were seeing this morning, our job is not our source. God will use the job, but what I found out was my job was my source of seed. So when I get my paycheck, my board sets my salary. So when I get my paycheck from Larry Hutt Ministries, I realize, okay, seed bin. Time to tithe, time to give. Glory to God, here's my seed bin. It's sure not my source. Come on, when I quit Delta Airlines, I had a good job, and I could have climbed the corporate ladder. I was working on that. I was planning on staying there. I didn't know at that point I was called to ministry. So to leave the job that I had and what I could have had, and going into the ministry, especially when I went in the ministry, preachers had holes in their shoes and lived in little shacks, and their kids didn't have enough clothes for school. So I'm glad I got a hold of the truth. God's no respecter of persons, and he set up a system whereby I can partake of the grace. He's already made me rich, so I am rich. Now there's a way of me acting in line with God's system here on the earth that will release those riches to me. And they will do it to every single person here and anyone listening to this recording, because his system is no respecter of persons. So then we sow into good ground. We find good ground to sow into. If anybody needs some more good ground to sow into, there's a guy named Larry Hutton Ministries that is real good ground. If you'd like to be a partner. But we find good ground to sow into, and then we sow, and then we're resolute. We stay with our confession. We stay with the Word of God, which means you have to keep feeding yourself. You know, don't let these meetings end. And I saw a lot of you buy scripture CDs out there today, this morning service, and you'll probably buy some tonight. Well, don't let these meetings end and you quit feeding your faith on this subject. Why do you think the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle John, said, "Beloved, it is my prayer above all things"? And then he mentions two natural things. He said, "I want you healthy and I want you wealthy." Why did God pick two natural things? Now, they're directly connected to our spiritual health, because as your heart prospers. But he said, "I'm praying above all these, above all else, two things for you, that you'd be healthy in your body and that you'd be financially free." Why would God pray that? Because listen, friends, if the devil can put us in a hospital bed with no money, then we're ineffective in the kingdom of God. If I can't get out and be a light to the world, and if I don't have money to help my pastor and help my church and help the missionaries and help the partnerships that I'm partnered with, if I don't have any money, then I'm rendered ineffective in the kingdom. That's why, see, God is smart enough to know while we're here on the earth, we need money and we need health to do His work. Right? And that money, of course, then can go a whole lot, multiply our efforts. So I can be a whole lot more places than I can just at this one point. I can only be at one place at one time, but my money can buy the airtime and the TV time and the radio time and put out stuff and send stuff out all over the world. And so people are listening to me preach. In fact, I was just told by Rhema Australia that they're actually, I was over there recently, and so they asked me to teach on finance. And so I actually did all, it's the most comprehensive, in-depth teaching I've ever done. But Monday through Friday, all five classes, all week long, every single one was on the subject of prosperity, financial freedom. And now I just was told that the school is actually using those DVDs now for every class since then. They're actually teaching all the students that because it's the Bible. And once we learn God's system and the way God does things, it takes all the pressure off us. It's like that lady I was telling you about this morning, but I didn't finish the story, and that was the school teacher. She said, you know, I know I'm called to be a school teacher, and she kept turning down promotion after promotion after promotion to school principal, to school superintendent, and all these other things. She turned out a lot of big money, and so she just continued to stay a school teacher, and she became a multimillionaire. Not from her job, because she learned that's not my source. God can use that, and He'll bless me, but my source is my seed. The only person that can stop me from gaining financially each year is me. Nobody else can stop me. I don't care what Obama, Osama, or your mama. It doesn't matter what anybody does. It is not going to stop what I do. Amen. It's just not. I'm sorry, but I'm hooked up with His riches and glory. And so I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what terrorists do. I don't care what Wall Street does. It doesn't matter. What matters is me and my Father. And He cannot lie. And since He gave me His word, He watches over it to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, so He said you cast seed in the ground, and you don't have to know how God's going to do it, because He brings forth fruit, verse 28, of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. You know what that shows me? God's system is not a get-rich-quick system, a get-rich-quick scheme. This is important to know. Now, I happen to be seeing some miracles in this realm happening, and it's happening a lot quicker than it used to, and I have a feeling that's because of the times, because it's getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus. And so I'm seeing people that are planting big seeds into ministries, and all of a sudden they're getting harvest about the time they're putting the seed in the ground, which is scriptural. The Bible prophesies that there's going to come a time where you're actually getting ready and put seed in the ground, and all of a sudden you're reaping. Well, that's got to be a miracle, because you can't get it any other way. Right? But God confirms His word with what? So that's why I'm expecting, even from these two meetings, from this morning and tonight, to see signs in your life. To supernatural, miraculous signs happening in this next year in your lives in the financial arena. But when they happen, don't forget who did it. Your Father. Amen. And we're told that even in the Old Testament. Don't forget. Remember the Lord your God. It is He that gave you power to get wealth. So in the New Testament, how much more? I mean, we're better off than they were under the Old Covenant. We definitely don't want to forget our Father, right? So as blessings come, and God doesn't mind you spending some on yourself, you're going to keep increasing if you keep your heart right. So you'll have the money for the nice home and the nice cars, all those things. And God's not against that at all. In fact, if you study out Abraham's life and Isaac's life and Jacob and Solomon David's life, you'll find out they had all kinds of stuff. Lots of material possessions, and it's okay because it was God's idea. So it's okay. But don't set your affection on those things. So if God says, okay, now that car, I want you to give that car away. That's happened quite a few times with Liz and I. I'm so glad. I love it because I'm not going to set my affections on things on the earth. This whole thing is going to be wrapping up soon. Even if it's 20 years from now when Jesus comes, do you realize how quick that is when you're talking about eternity? If everything wraps up by then, my goodness, we got to get We got to get the job done. There's billions of people that need Jesus yet. And then there's tens of millions of Christians that are still deceived, still living a low life, so to speak. In other words, they're living depressed, they're living sick, they're living poor, they're living in all these curses that Jesus bore when he was on the cross. We got to get the good news out to people. Which is why that my wife and I were just, we were just talking to network here, TV network. We just know we got to get more airtime. We got to get more. We've just been doing a weekly program for years now, and we're just praying about going on a daily program. We got to get the Word of God out more. Does that cost more money? Yeah, it does. But I'm believing for people that'll believe in us, that'll partner with us and help us. Amen. And you guys can set your faith in agreement because you're family with us, man. Hook up with us. Because we have got to get this Word out. Because I know what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm not preaching theory. I'm not preaching, well, this is just what I believe. I'm just showing people what the Bible says. Amen. And that's what sets people free is when we believe that. So notice it says the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So just because it doesn't seem like it's working fast doesn't mean we quit doing it. We keep doing the Word no matter what it looks like, because faith perseveres. Faith doesn't back down, right? And so then of course it says when the fruit does come, when harvest time comes, it says he puts in the sickle. Well, that's your faith. You use faith to sow and you use faith to reap. And if you don't use faith to reap, you're not going to reap. So, the car breaks down, doesn't look like you have the money, it's reaping time. Don't get into fear, because that's what the devil wants you to do. Get into faith. Say, all right, thank you, Lord. You're the God that meets all of my needs. I have a need right here, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. You've already made me rich. I have more than enough money, and so I'll be sensitive to you. Because God may then speak to you to say, do this, go do this, go here, go there. And all of a sudden, he'll put you in contact with the right people, make the right connection, or show you what to buy. I was driving along one time, and I looked on the side of the road, and there was a car for sale, and I wasn't even thinking about buying a car. And all of a sudden, God says, buy that car. I looked at the car and thought, I don't want that car. And God said, buy that car. And I just knew it was the Spirit of God. I was actually praying in the Spirit while I was driving along. And I looked over and I thought, okay. So I stopped and checked out, and the car was for sale. And I called up, and it was a widow lady that had just lost her husband. And I asked her, I said, can you tell me about the car? She said, well, sonny boy. She said, my husband and I bought that brand new. Oh, I don't remember if it was 6 years ago or 7 years ago, whatever, something like that. She said, it only has 18,000 miles on it. And it's always been parked in the garage, and I never drive it. And so if you want it, you can have it for this amount. She told me the amount. I thought, no, you're joking me, because the amount was less than the bank would loan on it. In other words, it wasn't a retail price. It wasn't a wholesale price. It wasn't a loan value price. It was below that. I said, ma'am, I said, are you sure that's all you want for it? I'll pay you more. She said, no, sonny boy, that's all I want for it. So I went and bought it. I mean, it was one of those stories that you hear about that you think is just fairy tale. You know, that you buy this one owner, mint condition, not one little ding on the car, not one little scratch, nothing like off the showroom floor. And so I remember when I got it, and it wasn't anything that I wanted, but when I got it, it was just so pretty. I almost wanted to keep it, you know. And I remember getting the title 7 days later. The title came in the mail. When I opened the title up and looked at it, thinking, man, that's a nice car. And the Lord said, sell the car. I just got the car. He said, sell the car. And less than 24 hours later, I had $1,200 cash in my pocket. $1,200 cash that I didn't have a week before. That was not part of my thinking or my planning or anything, but $1,200 more. Yeah, another $300 or more to get. We got to sow, and then had more for our own things to buy things for us. This is just a win-win situation. But you can't get in fear about it. Because there's been times, even the last couple years, for example, just 2 months ago, I took a half a month off of traveling. Now, when I don't preach in a church, they don't receive love offerings. It just doesn't work that way. When you're not a guest minister in a church, they don't think, hey, you know what? Larry's preaching today. Oh, no, he's not preaching. But let's receive him a love offering anyway. No, they don't do that. And so I took two Sundays off because there was a pastor's wife that was dying of cancer out in California. And I knew I was supposed to be there to stand with them and help them, even though I knew she wasn't going to stay here. She was going to be going to heaven. So I had to take two Sundays off. Well, if you took two Sundays off here and didn't receive any tithes or offerings, would that affect the church income whatsoever? Of course it would. Same with a ministry like mine, with no income coming in other than partners. Thank God that we do have some partners that help us on a monthly basis. But with no income coming in from services, it can be a challenge. And you know what? For that whole month, Liz, my wife, did not get a paycheck, and I didn't get a paycheck. The whole month. The middle of the month payday came. The end of the month payday came. I could have taken some money, and my wife could have, but our employees wouldn't have got their whole paychecks. And we decided we're going to make sure our employees get paid. And you know what? We did that, and God took care of us. We didn't miss a step, didn't miss a beat. I didn't have to cut back on anything. We just kept living the way God's showed us that we can live because we have a system in place, seed time and harvest. So we continued sowing even though we weren't getting paychecks. Because I found out, listen, I happen to know some things about the future, things that are going to happen, some hard times that are going to fall on this nation and different things in the financial arena. And Christians have got to learn now to unhook from the Babylonian system of borrowing and credit and debt. And you got to get hooked up to His riches and glory. And I'm so blessed. You know, we were listening to the testimony from our missionary friend this morning that you guys had, and I was thinking about a couple of our missionary friends and some people we support. One guy that goes into China regularly, there is, not only in the Muslim nations like we heard, there's major revival. Jesus appearing to a lot of Muslims getting born again. Listen, we just had a leader of ISIS get born again. One of our ministry contacts, one of his ministers went into this particular country where ISIS is, and the ISIS leader, one of these ISIS leaders, his wife was dying of an incurable disease, and this minister ministered to her, got her healed, and when he saw her get healed, he gave his life to Jesus. So don't you think that this thing isn't working on wrapping up these end times, what's going on in Israel and the Muslim nations and China right now. China, I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands a day getting born again. But there was this one community, my pastor friend, his name is Pastor John Ko. He lives in Singapore now. He's born and raised in China. He goes in China all the time. And he was telling me, he said, Larry, he said, I'm going into China. He said, I'm going into villages and stuff that are hundreds of miles away from any city. He said, if they get sick, they can't run to town and get any medicine. He said, if they run out of food, there's no grocery store nearby. He said, these guys, they're walking with Jesus the way they did in the book of Acts and in the four gospels. He said, we'd go into their homes and find out they got this big pot of stew he said, how long you been having that? And they said, oh, we've been living on the same pot for 3 months now. Every time we empty it out, God keeps filling it back up. Now that's Bible, folks. And they tell them, you know, we walk in divine health because as soon as we get sick or diseased, we can't go run to a doctor or get medicine. We don't have anybody to trust except God, and so we always get healed. I thought, oh my goodness, because it makes me want to whip us into shape, you know. It's just like we just have it so easy over here compared to. But I'm telling you what, God's moving, and He's moving on behalf of those that will believe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we reap. All right, go with me. Let me show you something here. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians. No, go to 2 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So remember, from this day forward, we said it this morning, but if you weren't here this morning, from this day forward, we're never going to be droppers. We're going to be sowers. All right? Never again are we just going to drop money in the bucket, drop money in the mail, drop a click with money on the internet. No, we're going to be sowers. We're going to speak the word over our giving. I mean, boy, zero your faith in on it. And you watch God's grace, God's financial grace be released in your life. Look here at John, or at 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he that ministers, and if you look up the word ministers, it means to furnish. The literal Greek says furnish, supply, or contribute is what the literal Greek says. Furnish, supply, or contribute. So it's talking about sowing. It's talking about giving. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, or supplies seed, or contributes seed, or furnishes seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, I want you to notice something here because a lot of people have missed this. I've heard preachers do this as well as other Christians. I've heard them say, now, you know, when it comes time to give, if you don't have anything to give, just hold your hand up and see it full by faith. That is so unscriptural. The Bible does not say God gives you seed to sow. Look at it. It does not say God gives you seed to sow. It says he gives seed to sowers, which if you back up to the seventh verse, you purposed in your heart to be a sower. So this is a heart connection with God. You're putting his kingdom first. This is who he's talking to. That's who he gives seed to. So when people hold up their hand, okay, God, I thank you, give me something to sow. Bless God, pull a button off your shirt, get a pen out of your pocket, do something, find a penny on the floor. If you're not a sower, he's not giving you anything. And it's not because he doesn't want to either. Because God wants you blessed, but he has set up a system and God operates. Listen, God's sovereign. Part of God's sovereignty is he can't change. And he won't change. And he can't change his word. And if he says, my kingdom operates on seed time and harvest, I got to get my kids to plant a seed. So start with a penny. Start with a nickel. Start with a dime. Start somewhere. And then when the next quarter comes, plant 15 cents. And when the dollar comes, plant 30 cents. And don't stop. Keep going higher and higher and higher. Because you're putting your trust in God, and it'll keep you out of fear, too. Amen. Keep you out of fear. And some people, you know, when they hear, like me, give my testimony, I'm not near to the financial level that I have some friends at yet. I'm going to be, because I am rich, so riches have to come to me. And I'm a sower, so I'm going to keep sowing more and more and more, and so more is going to keep coming to me. But I'm not at the level some of my friends are. I have some friends that are multi-millionaires and stuff like that. But I'm blessed, I'm rich, I'm financially free, and we can do pretty much what we want when we want. But I'm not to the point where I can go buy my jet yet. We were talking about that at lunch today, you know, we're believing for a jet. Well, I don't have the cash just to go buy it right now. I'm not at that point. But I can continue to be a doer of the word, speak the word, and then keep increasing. Blade, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn, and I just keep doing that, and then we keep up in the ante. But a lot of times when people see where you're at now and they hear you say, you know, I gave $10,000 here, and I gave $20,000 here, and I gave $30,000 here, and I did all this. When people hear you that you've given that much, I don't know, they get this idea that, well, you know, if I had as much money as you had, it'd be easy to give. But let me tell you, it is no different. When God spoke to me the first time to give $10,000 and we had it, it was no different than the one when he told me the first time to give $100. Because the first time he told me to give $100, I'd never given $100 in an offering. And it was like I was given everything, even though I still had $20 left. But still, give $100. My goodness, are you kidding me? And then the first time God spoke to us to give $1,000, actually that emptied our bank account. Liz and I, this is when we were traveling with Brother Hagin, and the Lord told us to give $1,000 to a ministry, and we had $1,000 in savings that we had just saved up, and it was all we had. So I felt like the widow woman. I was giving it all. But I knew God was setting us up for greater. If I'll continue to stay out of fear and always believe, okay, Lord, I know if I sow into your kingdom, you're going to take care of me. It takes faith to do that. But I'm telling you, it doesn't get any easier just because you have more. Because the first time God told us to give $10,000, you know what my brain thought? I thought, man, I'm needing to buy more airtime. I need to pay for bills. And now you're telling me to give $10,000? I remember the first time he told me to give $20,000. Told Liz and I both, give $20,000 that ministry. It wasn't any easier just because we had it. Because the more you do for God, the more you need. The more bills, the bigger the bills are, the more. I mean, come on, you guys aren't done yet. God's going to be doing more through redeeming love. You're going to have to reach more people. You're going to buy more land. You're going to build. You're going to reach. It's going to take more money. So that means you and I in the pews have got to be more blessed so we can help our pastors and churches do what they're called to do. What's cool about it is it's win-win. Because every time I bless my pastor and my church or even the ministries that I'm partners with, I'm receiving the greater blessing. And then I increase, and then my pastors are going to be blessed because the church is going to get more out of my greater blessings, and then my partnerships, and then even other places that I'm not partners with, God's going to speak to me like he does now to Liz and I and say, give this over there and give that there and help that person. And when you have more, you can do more, especially when your heart's not attached to it, because you realize money is just a thing. It's not meant to be loved. Now, money is something to be used for the kingdom of God. And that even means in my personal life, I go buy me a mansion, then I'm going to use that mansion for the kingdom of God. I'm going to make sure I use it for his glory. I'll have parties. I'll have youth over. I'll touch them with the love of Jesus, and I'll witness to them when they're in my pool. Amen. I mean, if you have a boat, you take people out on your boat, you witness to them. So anything God blesses you with, you use it to encourage people. I remember when I was just a little Rhema singer and band member, Brother Hagin got his first Lexus. It was the top of the line Lexus. You know, back then they were, I think, only $60,000 for the most expensive one. Now they're what, 90 or 100 or something. But anyway, top of the line Lexus, you know, and Dad got it. And I know he did this just to encourage me because I'm just a little Rhema singer and band, barely struggling financially, don't have a nice car. And he calls me over and he said, Larry, come on, let me take you for a ride in my Lexus. And he was a heavy footer. Brother Hagin was like Pastor Ed. Brother Hagin liked to go fast. But you know what? I'm telling off on me too. I'm that way too. I like to go fast. Keith Moore is that way. He likes to go fast. Hey, you know, I think we serve a God that likes to go fast. Amen. So whenever God blesses you with things, just show it off. Don't be ashamed of it. Look what God did for me. God did that for you. Yeah, see, well, just when they ask that kind of question, they've just opened up for you to witness to them. So is the kingdom of God, seed time and harvest. So look what it says right here. God gives you seed if you're a sower. Then that harvest is going to come back. Now look what it says, bread for your food. In other words, he's going to take care of your needs. But then look what he's going to do. He's going to multiply, not add, multiply what? Seed sown. So if we're sowing the word with our money, it will be seed. But if we're just dropping, it's not going to be multiplied. Hence why a lot of people don't get anything in return. But you make sure that you interpret scripture in light of other scriptures. So we're using Mark to interpret this. So when it's talking about seed sown, you got to be putting the word with it or it's not seed, right? And so he multiplies your seed sown, and then he increases the fruits of your righteousness. Do you know what that is? The fruits of your righteousness is every fruit from heaven that comes to you because you're righteous. Somebody said, but that's all the blessings of heaven. Yeah, exactly. The fruits of righteousness is when I become righteous in God's eyes, all of heaven is mine. In fact, all the things that belong to God on the earth are mine. Remember John 16:15, what Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. You ought to be making that same statement. All things that my Father has are mine. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Glory! Amen. All right, let's go to two more scriptures and close. Let's go to John chapter 24. No, John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And look at verse 24. Is this okay tonight? I'll tell you, I'm looking for the miraculous to happen in your lives because you sacrificed to be here. Do you guys have Sunday night service? You don't. So this was a sacrifice then. You guys came out. Look at this crowd. This is great for a Sunday night then. Thank you, guys. I'm proud of you. And God's going to reward you for it, too. You're putting God first. He'll bless not only your sleep, but he's going to bless what you put your hand to. Hallelujah. John 12, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, in other words, if it's planted, it brings forth what? Much fruit. It brings forth abundance of fruit. Watch, what is it? It brings forth. What is it? The seed. It brings forth much fruit. It. So you plant the word when you let go of the money, and it brings forth much fruit. So even though I've never had a car given to me, that's because cars, money, things do not produce after their own kind. But even though I've given clothes and I've never gotten clothes in return, even though I've given cars, God's blessed me with the money to go buy the things. So it doesn't matter how he does it. If he sends somebody to buy you a new car, fine, however he does. If he sends somebody with a fishing pole and you go cast it and open a fish's mouth after you catch the fish and it has enough money to pay your annual taxes, then you go do it. Whatever. However God wants to do it is fine. But he will do it because he said, my kingdom operates by seed time, and he promised us that. So you don't just use faith for seed, you use faith for harvest. Amen. And if you don't use faith for harvest, harvest is not going to come because you got to put the sickle in, you got to use faith. Somebody says, well, Brother Larry, the Bible says there in Luke 6, in fact, turn over to Luke 6 with me. The Bible says in Luke 6 that when you lend, you don't expect anything in return. Yeah, but look at the verse. It's not talking about sowing. Amen. Watch this. Luke chapter 6. What is it? Verse 35. Let me get over there real quick. Yeah, verse 35. Love your enemies. Oh, no, wait a minute. No. Oh, yeah, it is verse 35, isn't it? Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. So sometimes we tend to hear people take that and say, now that means when you give, you shouldn't expect anything in return. No, that's not what it says at all. That's not talking about sowing there. That's talking about lending. And so Liz and I have done that. One time a friend called us up. In fact, we've actually done this numerous times with different people. But the one occasion, a man called us up and needed a bunch of money. Well, we had $22,000 that we weren't using in one account. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'll draw up a contract and I'll pay you this much interest back, and we'll just make sure you get it all back and more. And I said, no, the Bible says that when a believer lends to another child of God, you don't charge interest. And I don't need a contract because I know you happen to be a man of your word. That's our contract. And so we lent it to them and expected nothing in return. They never gave it back. It didn't matter. We've done that on numerous occasions and sometimes never gotten it back. I don't care because I'm going to be a doer of the word. When I'm a doer of the word, what does James tell me? I'm going to be blessed in my deed. In other words, all my other actions and stuff are going to be blessed because money isn't my God. It's not my king. It's not my Lord. It's not my guide. It's a tool to reach people and help people. So the more I am God-minded, not money and thing-minded, then the more money and things I'll have. And they won't have me. Years ago, the Lord told me, he said, when you teach on this subject and you use my word to sow into the hearts of people, it will cause my character to be built on the inside of them so they can handle money properly and they won't love it and they won't use it wrongfully. That's one reason I do this. It is not my choice to teach this subject. Some places you go, you get persecuted for teaching this subject. And I have been, and I still am persecuted for it. It's not my desire. I'd rather come and teach faith. You know, I'll teach like the one time I was here when I taught on peace, how to live in supernatural peace above your feelings, above your emotions, and control them all the time. I love preaching on that subject. Money is not my favorite subject to teach on, but when I know it's the will of God, then I have to do it. I have to obey God because I know it's going to help you. And it's going to position all of us because we need each other. You don't just need me. I need you. We need each other because we're all part of the body, and I can't take your place in the body, and you can't take mine. So if we can get all of us like-minded, all of us in one accord, flowing in this kind of wealth transfer that God's going to be doing in these last days, then our pastors won't have to get up and say, you know, we're going to buy this building over here, and you know, we're going to have a building program for the next 10 years and raise the money till we can finally buy it. No, we're going to get up and we're going to present it to you and me. The pastors will get up and present it, and you and I will be jumping up and say, I'll give $100,000, I'll give $1 million, I'll give $500,000, and in 5 minutes' time, it'll be paid for in cash. Right? That's the heart of God. That's God's desire. Amen. So, he gets down to, let's just start here in verse 36 then. Be merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be given. Forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. Somebody said one time, I heard a preacher say one time, well, the word give is not talking about giving money here. It's talking about giving, you know, love. And I said, no, you're taking it out of context. If you read the context, it says, be merciful. It says, don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given back to you. So each one was a different subject. So don't try and take then giving and put it back in with some of the other things. He's talking about giving. In fact, if you study this out, it's actually referring to money because he says give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? You know what this word bosom means in the literal Greek? It signifies, of course, in the natural, it can be talk about the bosom, the front of the body. But this verse, when it's talking about bosom, it says this. And this is from W. E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, you know, William Edwy Vine. This is what he said. It signifies the bosom of a garment, which is the hollow formed by the upper part of a loose garment bound by a girdle and used for carrying or keeping things, thus figuratively for repaying one liberally. In other words, somebody would hold up their cloak and make this big pouch, and they would get repaid because they gave. And when they gave, the people giving back to them got repaid. They're getting it full up. It's running over. In other words, God wants you to have more than enough because he wants the blessing spilling onto other people. He doesn't want just my needs being met. He wants way above my needs being met so I can help meet the needs of other people. So when he says give, he's talking about financially. It'll be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We all know that part. But then it says, shall men. Shall what? So, hence why there's a time period between your sowing and you're reaping because God has to use men to get it back to you. He can use a fish. He's done that, right? He can use a raven. He's done that, right? So God can use those things, but the number one way that God does it is through the hands of men. It could be a raise. It could be a promotion, those kind of things, but it could be leading you to the right place at the right time where you come contact with somebody that puts you in contact with somebody that all of a sudden an investment that you would have never even dreamed, like a piece of art that you think is ugly. And it just came out of the blue. Somebody just walked up to us and said, would you like to invest in some art? I've never invested in art in my life, but I knew it was God. This is how things happen when we're walking God's way, doing it in God's system. Then, million and one ways, favors, ideas, just one thing after another starts opening up to us. And man, a year goes by and you look back and you realize, my God, you are so good. You love me so much, Lord, this year. We were able to give more than we've ever given. And I continually call myself a kingdom distributor. That's what you ought to call yourself. I'm a kingdom distributor. Everybody say it. I'm a kingdom distributor. Say it again. Say it like you mean it. That's what I am. I'm a kingdom distributor. Glory to God. My eyes aren't on things or money. I'm going to have lots of things and lots of money, but my eyes aren't on them. I'm a kingdom distributor. So I'm going to reach more souls, touch more lives than I've ever done. Amen. So I'll close with this. You heard me make a statement just a minute ago, hence why sometimes there's time between seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. You know, there's a waiting period after you plant seed. You don't see anything happen. You go to sleep, get up, go to sleep, just like a natural seed. And then all of a sudden you see this little blade and then the ear and then the full corn. So it takes time sometimes because God uses people to shower his favor upon us, and he'll even use sinners. Oh yeah, he'll have sinners. He can talk through a donkey, can't he? So he could talk through a sinner to speak a word that gives you an idea that you'd have never had before. So because God speaks through men, he's got to get men in position to come across your path and to show you favors. Well, because he's dealing with men, men don't always obey. Huh? So I remember when we were at a meeting with Brother Hagin, it came to be called a top summit meeting. I don't know if any of you heard about it, but he called all the national leaders on television. I'm talking about Brother Copeland and Jesse Duplantis and Jerry Savelle. I'm talking about all the big name preachers. In fact, there were only two people there in that meeting that were not on television at the time. That was me and Keith Moore. Keith's on TV now, I'm on TV now, but neither one of us were at that meeting. But we happened to be close with Brother Hagin, and so he called me up and he called Keith up. He said, I want you boys in the meeting because I know you both teach on this subject of finances. So he said, I want you there. So we were there. And he said something that the Holy Ghost took with me and expounded with me and helped me see. He made a statement, Brother Hagin, in that meeting. And by the way, the meeting, he told everybody in the meeting, he said, by the way, I didn't call all of you guys together to tell you what to preach. Not at all. He said, I called us together, so let's discuss some of the things we're teaching, and let's see, maybe it's not what we're saying, but maybe it's how we're saying things that could be perceived wrong. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. So it was good. It was a good meeting. But anyway, he said something along this line. He said, there's three levels of our redemption. I'd never heard that. And then he talked about spiritually, then he talked about physically, and then he talked about financially. Well, and then the Holy Ghost added to that and showed me what I'm going to show you here. See, spiritually, when you receive being born again, spiritually, it's spirit to spirit. So there's no flesh, no physical, no money. There's nothing involved. It's spirit to spirit, so it is instantaneous. Always, 100% of the time, it's instantaneous. There's nothing that can stop. When somebody confesses Jesus as Lord, instantaneous, spirit to spirit. So there's no hindrance there. He said, then the next level, he said that was like the top level. And then the next level of our redemption is physical. He said, we're redeemed from sickness, disease, and pain. But he said, now It's not just spirit to spirit. Now you have a body involved. And sometimes it's the way people treat their body or take care of their body or don't take care of their body that's a hindrance to them receiving healing into their body. So you have things involved now. And so even though you're redeemed from sickness and disease, now you got your body you got to deal with. And so sometimes that may take a little bit longer. Sometimes people get it instantly, sometimes an hour, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, but it's because you have a body to deal with. Then he said there's a lower level of redemption from that. It's financial. And so I saw that the Lord showed me, see, because God has to talk to people about blessing you. Even without them knowing they're going to bless you, he has to lead them and guide them, and then maybe some of them will know later on. How many of us have been told by God, and this is going to show you something right here, how many of us have been ever told by God to give some money, whether it's to our pastor, our church, or some ministry, and we didn't do it right away? How many of us? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever done that. I'm raising my hand. Okay, so in other words, the preacher or the pastor or the minister we were supposed to give to had to wait because you and I were delaying. And yet God told us to do it. And yet a lot of times, even though we know God told us, we'll say, well, you know, I'll just wait and see. For example, I was at a church preaching in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was preaching along, and that pastor's asked me to receive my love offering after I got done preaching, so I was receiving it, and I was just thanking God that he's so good. And there was a guy sitting out in the congregation, and the Lord said, I want you to sew your watch to Dr. Hutton tonight. And so he said, well, okay, Lord, I'll give my watch to Dr. Hutton. And he said, when I was up there praising God and had my arm lifted up, he saw the watch that I had on, and he looked at it, and he said, well, that's nicer than the one I'm going to give him. And he talked himself out of it. Now watch what's going to happen here. God is trying to bless somebody even beyond me. But watch what happens. And this is so cool. So the next night, I was there for 5 nights. The next night, God spoke to the man again. Give him your watch. And he saw my watch and he said, yeah, Brother doesn't want my watch. He's got a nicer watch than this one. 5 nights, every night he spoke to the man. God spoke to the man, told him to give his watch. Now, I knew this later on because a couple months later, I got a watch in the mail with a long, repentive letter. Saying, man, I have been miserable. This watch has hurt my heart, everything else you could imagine. Saying, I was supposed to give this to you a couple months ago when you were here, and I am so sorry. Receive this, and I am sowing this into your life and into your ministry. You use it however God wants. If you want to sell it, if you want to use the money, whatever you want to do, you just do what you want with it. It is now your watch. And so I opened up the package. I read the letter first, and then I pulled the watch out, and I looked at the watch. And while I'm looking at the watch, God says, give that watch to Brother So-and-so. Wow. Well, Brother So-and-so, I know. He lives in Oklahoma. The guy from Atlanta, Georgia, does not know Brother So-and-so. But God's wanting to get the watch off of the man in Atlanta, Georgia, to Brother So-and-so in Oklahoma, and just use me as a yielding vessel. See how God has to work through people? And come to find out, the man in Oklahoma been believing for a watch, needed a watch. But he had to wait and wait and wait and wait. Shouldn't have had to wait that long. God spoke to a man way before then. Should have had to watch a long time ago. Amen. I've had people tell me, Brother Larry, I'm going to help you buy your jet. And I'm still waiting. But I'm going to be flying it soon. I'm going to come fly and preach for you guys in it. I'm going to use it for his glory. Thank you, Lord. So here's the whole thing that we preached this morning and tonight. Seed time and harvest. No respecter of persons. Every one of us can increase the next year, but it's all according to what we do. Are we going to sow or are we going to drop? And then after we drop, are we going to continue to speak the word so that we stay in faith and so that we put that sickle of faith in and bring in the harvest? You're not moved by just because things go bad or look bad. When things attack, listen, Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation come against you. But be of good cheer, I've already overcome it for you. So when the things happen and smack us in the face and knock our face where our feet was just a minute before, we get up, we dust ourselves off, and we say, "It is written," and we start speaking what the Word of God says over us. We don't back down. We don't get moved. Amen. And then we watch the blessings come in. And when money comes to us and we increase financially, it is a thing that I do not set my affection on. I love to give it. So in that respect, it is fun, and I love to get money to give away, but I'm not setting my affection on things. Amen. And that's when God will give you things that you can have, and He won't even tell you have to give them away. I've talked to so many people that have been blessed with, man, I just talked to a pastor, this just happened about 2 days ago, as a matter of fact, talking to a pastor friend of mine that I preached for a number of times, and somebody just walked up to him and his wife, and this pastor is such a giver, he's just always given, a man walked up to him and said, "Here, my wife and I want to sow you and your wife a brand new home." And the home was a $1 million home on the ocean front, and on the other side, bayfront. So he has dock for his boat, and it was all debt-free. Out of the blue. But see, my pastor's he's operating seed time and harvest. He doesn't set his affection on things of the earth, so God gave him something that I doubt seriously God would ever tell him to give away. He wanted to show him how much he loved him. Amen. And God wants to do the same thing for you and me. And He will. I said, and He will. Because He said, my kingdom operates by seed time and. So we're going to use our faith to plant more seed the next 12 months. And we're going to use our faith to get more harvest the next 12 months. And you shall reap if you faint not. Right? Galatians 6:9. Amen. All right. Father God, I pray right now for all of us. Not just them, but I pray for me. I pray for all of us together. We're part of your family. We've all heard your word, and we all believe it, and we're all going to do it. We're going to give more into your kingdom the next 12 months than we've ever given. We're going to receive more harvest than we've ever given. Lord, we call ourselves kingdom distributors. So we will be faithful with little, and we will be faithful with much, because we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.